You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Friends, these beautiful words from Jesus are much more than just nice sounding words. They're both a reminder of the marvelous dignity that we all have as beloved sons and daughters of God, and also a summons to action. As members of the body of Christ, we are meant to bring distinctive Christian flavor to our world. Salt. You know, we use salt to season pretty much everything, right? So we're meant to bring that flavor to the world to enlighten the path forward through the darkness that we often encounter. And this isn't just for high-ranking church officials or well-known Catholics. It applies to us all. And how wonderful that this is, that Jesus calls us and blesses us with this wonderful dignity. We are truly light and salt, this beautiful flavor, this illumination. Yet at the same time, our Lord wants us to live this out, to live out this reality and have an impact on our world. It is often much easier to sit on the sidelines and blend in with the culture. I want to stick out. What if someone's going to say something, right? What if I hurt somebody's feelings? Bishop Thomas, our previous bishop, coined a term, camouflage Catholics, that speaks exactly to this. We're not meant to live that way. Jesus clearly calls us to do the opposite. He says if salt loses its taste, it's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and used as ice melt, basically, right? There's no other use for it. We don't use salt for anything else. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, he reminds us, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. That's ridiculous, right? Why would you do that? It's meant to give light, to illuminate, to scatter the darkness so we can see. Plus, it's also kind of a fire hazard, right? If you put a lamp underneath a bushel basket, but we're getting carried away here. Getting back to what Jesus is talking about, his very own words, it's not put under a bushel basket, it is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. We are meant to stand out, to be distinctive in the world. Jesus says, just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. Notice he says must here. Must. So this is essential. It's not optional. It's part and parcel of who we are and who we're called to be, ultimately, as saints. So, how can we honor Christ's call for each of us to truly be salt and light for the world, day in and day out? In short, pursue justice in its fullest Christian sense. We see this full sense when we look to the cross, when we turn our gaze here where ultimate justice is on full display. That's full justice right there. Jesus gave up everything for you. Everything earthly, obviously, but also, you know, he came down from heaven and, you know, he humbled himself to become a human being. So he gave it all for you. Not because he owed you anything. It wasn't like he owed us, okay, I'll come down and settle the debt. No, he did this because he loves you and knows that otherwise you won't be able to spend eternity with him, since you can never repay the debt that you owe him. So he paid it on your behalf. My behalf too. Only he can restore justice, and he delights in doing so. He didn't do it begrudgingly, like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do this. The Father wants me to do it, so I guess I'll do it and see what happens. He delights in doing this, in restoring justice in our lives. Yet he succeeds in doing this only through relationship with the Father. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane when he's, Father, if this cup can pass, but your will be done. He's struggling. But ultimately, he does go to the cross in and through relationship with the Father. He doesn't do it on his own. It's through that beautiful bond that he has with God the Father. Therefore, this is instructive. It shows us that justice is founded not on charity, but on relationship with God. Charity then flows directly and beautifully from this relationship. As I've said before, conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. Conversion draws us deeper and deeper into relationship with the Lord, inherently leads us out to spread the good news and help others grow in relationship with the Lord. The three-legged stool is another metaphor. Of course, sacraments, daily prayer life, immersing us deeper into relationship with our Lord, and then that leads us out in loving service to our brothers and sisters. It's a virtuous cycle, reinforcing. Conversion leads to evangelization. Evangelization leads us to deeper conversion, which then we yearn more and more to go out and serve our brothers and sisters. So it's a beautiful cycle. St. Paul shows us the path to true justice in today's second reading. He says, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's talking about relationship, knowing Jesus and knowing Him crucified. So he's being drawn deeper and deeper into the Paschal mystery, this furnace of our Lord's love. That's what he says. That's all I want to know. Know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So he's not talking about Jesus, the big teddy bear, who the yes man, who no matter what we say and do, says, oh, that's okay. Jesus never speaks a word to pull us back to justice. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about Jesus crucified. Jesus giving it all for us. And of course, rising from the dead. It doesn't end on the cross. This total self-emptying love of Jesus on our behalf, so that we might spend eternity with Him. Paul continues, my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Beautiful, beautiful words for us, not just for people long ago. Conversion leads the way, this immersion into relationship with the Lord, so that our faith is not on humans, but it's on the power of God. Conversion reveals God's power to us and restores justice in our lives, in our hearts, and in our lives around us. And it is God who does this, not human initiative or power. We merely just need to say yes, and then allow Him to do this wonderful work. Today's responsorial, which is an excerpt from Psalm 112, gives a beautiful and very practical illustration of what it looks like when people live this way, when people live justly. The psalmist cries out, light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. We can see relationship with God bearing fruit here. He's a just man, so he's welcoming the Lord's mercy, bringing about justice in his life. What happens? He is gracious and merciful to others in return. This is the dynamic that we're talking about here. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord, relationship, right? An evil report he shall not fear. God is his rock. God is his center. So no matter what happens in the world, he's firm in the Lord. He knows the Lord's going to take care of him. So he's not going to fear an evil report. His justice shall endure forever. Forever. It's beautiful. So obviously this person must be having struggles in life, like we all do, bearing the cross, persevering through these struggles with the Lord, and tasting the beautiful victory that the Lord wants to bring about, this victory of justice. Lavishly he gives to the poor. The psalmist says, lavishly. That's quite a descriptor there, isn't it? And it's a good examination for us, a good and tough question to ask, you know, am I doing this? Am I giving lavishly to the poor? I know if I'm honest with myself, that's not always the case. Sometimes maybe, but not always. I know there's many people here in our community that do give lavishly to the poor. It's good for us to keep this question in our mind, though, because God is calling us to do just this. And Isaiah encourages us further in today's first reading, helping us to understand we're not going to lose out by giving ourselves to others, especially to the poor. Share your bed with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked. And do not turn your back on your own. And he further qualifies this to help us to understand that it's not just essential for us to reach out to the poor, but it's essential for our own well-being too. He talks about the healing that comes about when we're generous with others, the vindication that the Lord wins for us in and through our self-offering to others. And this beautiful line, direct quote here, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. God always has your back, right? He's always right there helping you, guiding you through whatever it is that you're struggling with or rejoicing in life. Remember, though, to approach this through the lens of conversion. Pursuit of holiness keeps us properly anchored in Christ, and then He gives us the strength and courage needed. If we lavishly give ourselves to Him, then He helps us to lavishly give ourselves to others. We just can't rely on human initiative alone. We try, and that's how we get into sin. And then we come back to Jesus, and He helps reorient us. And there's many opportunities to pursue holiness. Of course, regular confession and Eucharist on Sundays and on holy days. At least come to daily Mass if you're able to come. You're not going to lose out. You're not going to be disappointed by coming to Mass more frequently. Of course, we have Eucharistic adoration, spending time with our Lord. Whether He's exposed in the monstrance or not, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, receiving from the Lord, you're building that relationship with Him. Really, really good stuff. Numerous retreats that we have all throughout the diocese and beyond that you can go to. We have the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, many, many different prayers and devotions that help you to grow in holiness, to help you to grow in relationship with our Lord. So that's the conversion piece, and then outreach follows. And there's many opportunities there too. Of course, we have Love Inc. You can contribute to Love Inc. financially. You can bring things to them. There's opportunities to serve directly. We have Family Promise, of course. We have Fork and Spoon. I couldn't remember the name there for a minute. And then there's just outreach to the homeless people and the beggars and the different people that we see in our community, ways to reach out and to love them. But there's also the spiritual poverty amidst family and friends, opportunities for us to help lead them to conversion, to relationship with our Lord. And then we'll have much more evangelization going on in our communities. So again, this is a beautiful, virtuous cycle that the Lord wants us to join Him in. So friends, as we draw this to a close, back to use some Pauline terminology here. What does your faith rest on? Is it resting on human initiative, human thinking, human power, or on the power of God? God wants to show you His mighty power working within and around you. He wants to amaze you. Every single one of you. He wants to show you just how much He loves you so that you will trust Him above everything else and then go out to share this superabundant goodness with the world according to His will. That's the cycle again. This is how you and I become and remain salt and light for the world. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us seek to do everything we can to give everything we have to this cause, to go at it with every fiber of our being and watch God transform the world through us by replacing the great injustices of our time with His magnificent peace and joy.